Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. OMG, it's a new episode of NOB. This has been a long time coming. Welcome back to News Over Brews. I'm so excited to be here, mostly to drink alcohol, not to be with my two co-hosts, Ryan and Marco.
Oh my god, LOL, R-O-F-O-L, M-L-F-A-L, I can't wait to be here.
And Lucas Jones.
A. L-M-F-A-O.
All right, I don't think they know what acronyms are, but
Lucas,
okay.
Lucas, did you actually invite Al to come here? Or
no, I didn't. I told you to come. That's why I bought a four-pack.
I was promised nachos.
Then you should have shown up on time. Nachos are for people who are on time. You know what losers get? No nachos.
We do get beer,
losers
though.
Got beer, yeah.
Yeah, and who bought the beer? I bought the beer. I made you nachos. I bought beer. I'm cleaned up the basement for you.
That's very nice.
You're packing because you're moving.
You show up, and what's your first words when you show up? We got to hurry up and get this done.
I'm sorry. I have a life now.
This is why we haven't... Yeah, right.
Sorry.
This is why
I haven't seen you in weeks,
haven't put
and
out
all
an
you
episode.
Want to do is just come in and leave.
You're not my girlfriend.
You just want to come in and do your business and leave. You don't want to talk. You don't want to catch up. You don't want
to
ask me.
Just
you know,
want to get
how
to
were
business.
Things, Lucas? How was your week? Oh, mine was good. Let's talk about it for a while. No, you just want to come in, do your thing, and go.
I'm fine. Sorry. I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean to do you like that.
Okay, fine.
All right, well, besides our relationship troubles, why don't you tell us about this exquisite beer that we're drinking?
Well, so we are drinking a beer from Omegang, which I don't know if we necessarily give enough love on the show.
Besides the Game of Thrones beer. I don't think so.
And I drink Omegang all the time, too.
It's a really good brewery.
It's a really good brewery. It's in New York, which is great. It's local. We've never been there. We probably should go.
Cooperstown is absolutely not local.
Cooperstown's pretty local.
It's like hours away.
Yeah, okay, so it's hours away. God forbid we spend some time together.
Go back a minute and you'll realize their relationship.
Yeah.
Just come in and do your do your business. Bye bye.
We're drinking Rare Voss. It is an amber ale. Rare Voss, of course, is what is it? Well, is Belgian a language? I don't think so. What do they speak in Belgium?
Waffle?
Dutch? They don't speak waffle. Well, it's whatever the Belgians speak. It's their language, and it translates... Belgianese. It translates into the Sly Fox. I don't necessarily know why that is what they named it. Oh, it says in the bottle. It's named after a cafe just outside of Brussels.
Which
I think is in Belgium.
We're literally telling people stuff that they could read on a bottle.
It's a copper-tinted amber color. If you pour it correctly, it pours with a slightly foamy head. If you pour it incorrectly, like Ryan does, the foam will fill up half your glass.
I kind of just threw the bottle up the glass to see what happens.
It's nice. It's like a really smooth amber ale. It's a little bit of spicy, a little fruity. Take my customary second sip.
Second? Eighth?
It's like spicy... Like a Belgian.
It's like a light flame.
Yeah, but it's like it's also got some like Abbey Double notes. Like it's got plum and maybe some dates, a little raisin, maybe some apple too. I don't know if that's just like me right now or...
I feel like it is.
A little sweetness is what I'm saying. Like there's a little bit of sweetness in there.
Very little, yeah.
There's just a lot and like it smells really good too.
I was even getting like... Hint of grape, maybe.
Yeah.
Even. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's pretty close.
I mean, this kind of really, it's on par with the Midas Touch that we've had a number
Ooh,
of times.
Ooh, good call, yeah. Which you is... know what, maybe the grape is the combination of my raisin apple. And so you're more accurate, I think, on that one with the grape.
I'm being quiet. I'm reading more about the beer.
It's like it's kind of herbal. Like the spiciness is not like pepper or like heat. No. It's like a white pepper, and then there's some herbs in there too. Yeah. So that's why I'm thinking it's like super. Well, it's got that Belgian flair to it.
Mm-hmm. It almost like the Allagash White. I'm getting a little bit of that.
Yeah.
That, like, that it's tang at the end.
Yeah, the tang at the end is definitely like that.
It says it's good with, it's sessionable. They even recommend it. And they said it pairs well with mussels, fries, or other pub foods.
Mm-hmm.
I can see this going great with mussels. I fucking love mussels. They are delicious.
Well, and yeah, and it's like, and the nice thing is it's a very smooth beer. Mm-hmm. It's not, like, overly carbonated or, like, really sharp. It's very balanced. So it goes well with food, and it's, like, something that you can drink consistently. 6.5% alcohol, so it's not unreasonably high alcohol content.
No.
You know, I usually like my pub ales, I suppose, to be a little bit lower so I can drink more of them. But this one is really good the way it is. There's almost no harshness from the booze. Yeah, I don't know. It's good. Like, I'm getting, like, maybe even some orange zest in there, too.
It reminds me so much of the Allagash White.
I think it's a little maltier. It's a little sweeter than the Allagash White. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely got some of that same flavor.
Especially at the end.
Yeah. I don't know.
Very good.
It's really good. Mm-hmm. And actually, we should mention that this comes a recommendation from one of our Facebook followers.
What?
Yeah, I know. We have Facebook followers. High five.
Yay. So,
oh, for those, I got a thumb in there.
So for those who can't see what we just did, we just tried our first ever triple high five.
We almost slapped each other in the
and
face.
It did actually not go well.
Can we do two separate high fives?
I guess.
Al, we try first. Ryan, now you two.
That's three separate high fives.
Whatever.
The first one went terrible.
I love how your high fives peaked the audio thing. Okay, so yeah, so it came from Facebook follower and good friend of mine, Brett McNamara.
You could have just had a friend.
Well, he's a good friend of mine.
It's still a Facebook follower of Knob.
He's a Facebook follower of, he's a knobber, and he's a good friend of mine. Accepted. So, Brett, thank you for your recommendation. You posted on my Facebook wall, and I was intrigued. So, here is our review of it, and I hope that you liked it as much as we did.
Yeah, it was a good call. Definitely a good call.
I'm going to go ahead and say...
He's going to give it an unreasonably high number now, isn't he?
It's so good. It's like, I'm trying to think of a complaint against it. I don't have any. But that doesn't necessarily make it like a perfect 10. God. I'm gonna go ahead and say 8.5 on this one. I could definitely put down a 4-pack of these without any regrets, and like I'm definitely gonna drink this again.
I think this is like deceitfully though like strong. Like,
oh yeah.
If we killed a 4-pack of this, like it's one of those. It's one
you
of
know
those
what would
ones.
Be interesting? Have this on cask. Slightly warmer and flatter. Let that like that sweetness and those spices that, come out a little more.
That's an interesting.
Because there's natural yeast in the bottom of this bottle. You're actually supposed to do the classic bottle-conditioned pour, which is pouring 3/4 of the bottle into the glass slightly vigorously, and then swirling around the bottom quarter, and then pouring that on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they recommend what you just said. Slow pour to not disturb the yeast sediment, mm-hmm. but with enough vigor to create a luxurious head and
I know.
Release the rich bouquet.
That's what I said.
Bouquet.
As they say it, nowhere.
No, nowhere. So France I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Yes, solid 8 from me. Mostly because from the style I've had better, as you mentioned, Midas Touch, as I had mentioned, Allagash White, or any of the Allagash beers that kind of do the same style. But it's overall a very solid beer.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 6, because 6... is afraid of 7 because 7,
that.
8, 9.
Are you seriously giving it a 6?
No, okay. I'm not. I just wanted to just say
this
that.
This is not Funtime Jamboree. This is a beer.
Isn't it Kindergarten?
Funtime Jamboree is 35 minutes
of the podcast. Is that your other podcast you have going?
Yes.
Jamboree Time with Al.
Could you please give this a number so we can...
8.
And actually, you know what's funny? Now that it's like warming up a little bit.
They are tasting it.
Are you getting lavender?
I got nothing to that.
Have you ever tasted?
He doesn't
or, like,
even know what
lavender
is.
No or are you just going to agree with
lavender.
Me after sipping?
You could put a fucking like that bottle cap in his mouth and be like, I'm getting some lavender rust.
Now that you mention it.
Some aroma.
It's a little lavender-esque.
You getting some violet in there, too?
Oh, man.
And some...
Tasting
some,
all the colors of the rainbow right now.
Powder blue under my tongue. Fucking idiots.
So, yeah, there you have it. A fantastic review from Lucas Jones, as usual. Make sure you pick up On the Gang Rare Voss if you are into the review that we just had. If you have any beer recommendations for us, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at News Over Brews.
Text us.
Yeah, text us. Here's Ryan's phone number. I'm kidding.
Just send us a carrier
pigeon
somewhere.
Yeah. Or you can even email us, newsoverbrews@gmail.com.
Don't do that. We never check that email.
We really don't. And when I say we, I mean Lucas, the keeper of the email and the Instagram.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're going to go on to our... We're
going to bounce back into action, and we're going to jump into our next topic. Go ahead.
We did not have the pleasure of going to this event, but every year Disney kind of has their own Comic-Con, like their own San Diego. It's called D23 Expo, and it's basically where they have gone to showcase all the new Disney-related things, and it's, you know, mostly their movies and their theme parks, attractions, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, a lot of people were expecting things from Captain America Civil War and Star Wars, because that's the two big properties that are coming out with stuff. What people didn't expect was they were treated to a Doctor Strange sizzle reel, which was very cool.
Yeah.
So we got people who were there got kind of the first idea of what the movie's going to be about, which is fantastic. That movie stars Benedict Cumberbatch. He's going to be entering the Marvel Universe, which is just insane to think about.
Pretty sure we've covered that before, but basically just a big orgasm.
Oh, absolutely. So they also showed off the new Pirates film that no one cares about.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah.
Another Again?
One. Yeah, fifth one.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's why I said no one cares about it. They also showed off the first... I don't know if it was first footage, but I guess more maybe sizzle reels of the live-action Jungle Book. That Jon Favreau is directing.
Yeah.
And they're doing Pete's Dragon, a remake.
You're just... I love it, because it is literally, like, live to Lucas, because he's finding out about all this
stuff.
Yeah,
I know. That's why I'm telling
you. I just... Oh, my God.
So,
I'm so happy I didn't know this before now, and now you've burdened me with this knowledge.
Yes. They also announced another sequel that no one cares about, is Alice in Wonderland. They're doing another one with Johnny Depp. It's called Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Johnny Depp is going to play Jack Sparrow?
No, Jack Sparrow is playing Mad Hatter, playing Johnny Depp.
Oh, so Johnny Depp is going to be a quirky, whimsical male character?
He's already done it, Lucas, in the first one.
I don't know if you guys know this.
That was sarcasm. That is literally the only role that Johnny Depp is capable of playing.
I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a movie coming out called Black Mass, and Johnny Depp is turning he's turning it on its head. He's being serious, finally.
I don't like it.
No, he's not. He's going to die in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
He's being...
Didn't he try that already, Public Enemies?
But he wasn't unrecognizable.
Did anybody see that movie?
No. But anyway, so the biggest thing that really came out of it was they showed the first footage from Captain America Civil War, which isn't available yet online, but we're really excited, hopefully soon.
Any early word on how that was?
I'm pretty sure the entire theater was white by the end of the... actually, Chris Evans and Anthony Mackie were on stage, like, presenting and everything, which was really cool. But anyway, so the big thing to come out of it was Star Wars, because they just, like... threw a bunch of announcements at people that we probably should have got at San Diego, but they actually did at D23. They showed off the first official poster, which has Harrison Ford and all of the, like, most of the new characters on there, including one of which, who we have seen so far.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Because Al sent me this poster and was like, here you go, dude. And I was like, dude, spoilers.
But literally, it's a poster and you will have seen it beforehand. And everyone will, but in this trailer...
What exactly was a spoiler?
I will explain it. You want to let me explain?
Do you not like being interrupted?
Not really. what's the guy's name? John Boyega?
Boyega.
Boyega. John Boyega. We've seen him so far in the first two trailers as a stormtrooper, but in the poster, he's holding up a blue lightsaber.
Which is a huge spoiler. I don't know why they would put that on the poster.
Apparently, it's not a spoiler. Obviously, he was meant for something bigger if they're
but you don't put that shit on the poster.
It's unlike Abrams to throw a spoiler like that out, so it probably isn't a spoiler. Like, it would probably be seen in the next trailer. If it's in the movie poster, It's not a spoiler poster. Like, who makes that?
But even if it's going to be in the next teaser trailer, it's going to be a spoiler in the next teaser trailer because you've already seen him in a Stormtrooper outfit.
Yes, but what I'm trying to say is, if Abrams is the guy who did Cloverfield, produced Cloverfield, did Super 8. Super 8 was a giant secret for a long time, mm-hmm. and he's very good with secretive projects and all that kind of stuff. So if they put it on the poster, that means it's not a secret.
Secret to me.
There was also a leaked picture, but I didn't even look at it. I saw a little bit of it and avoided it. They showed Mark Hamill reprising his role as Luke Skywalker.
No.
But that wasn't really the big news. The big news is there was a bunch of things, and so we're going to talk about this stuff. They started filming Rogue One, the first Star Wars story.
No.
It's now called A Star Wars Story, instead of the anthology films, like what they were going to originally call it. So now it's A Star Wars Story. And they have picked the director for Episode 9, which is, I can never say his name, Colin Trevorrow?
Colin, the guy who directed Jurassic World.
Colin, yes. Jurassic World, that's his name.
I know him as the guy who directed, what is that great movie I saw on Netflix?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about. With Aubrey Plaza and Mark Duplass. Safety Not Guaranteed.
Oh, right.
He directed that, which is a really good movie. If you've never seen that, you should watch that.
I haven't seen it.
It's really good. It's, anyway. And there was one more big news, wasn't there?
Theme parks.
Yes, thank you. So, in addition to all of that, we all knew this was coming, and this is kind of the reason that...
Did we?
Yeah, absolutely. Disney bought Lucasfilm for one reason. Not for the films, not for the merchandise... A little bit of all those things.
For
the
main 14-acre theme park.
Yes. Not one, but two. So there is going to be a Star Wars, full Star Wars theme park in the same vein as like the Harry Potter theme park in Orlando for Universal. They're going to have one in Orlando and one in California. OMG. I am so turned on to the idea of going to a Star Wars theme park.
I'm just turned on in general.
Yes. I'm pretty wet.
And Ryan is wet. And that kind of explains his entire existence.
I am soaked. Yes.
What's the male equivalent of sploosh?
Sploosh.
Sploosh.
So, I don't know where to start.
I know where to start.
Go.
Oh.
Okay.
This is awesome. The fact that, like, all right, so I'll admit I've been getting caught up in the hype train for the new Star Wars movie and Star Wars Battlefront, which is coming out.
Goo.
Goo. I'm actually looking to upgrade my PC so that I can get... Gasploosh? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah.
Gooshploosh. So I can run it on high graphics settings.
Just get an Xbox One.
No, I'm not going to do that. So, yeah, I mean, it's so cool. And, like, Star Wars is my favorite franchise. These two have known that for some time now.
Big surprise.
Did you know that?
Nope.
So,
news to me.
I thought it was Alice. This is Wonderland really, really cool. Second.
this is going to be super cool. I can't wait to see what the Star Wars theme park is going to be like. I said we should go do it once and then go do it again, but, like...
Wasted.
We'll do a live episode while we're in it with beers.
Yes.
It'll be hilarious, I think, too, because it'll be like, fun. It'll be like parents with their like small children, and then us.
I actually have an idea.
Okay.
We go do the park.
All right.
Right? We spend the whole day.
Yeah.
Spend the whole day, do the Star Wars theme park. Then we go to Epcot, and we drink around the world whilst doing the podcast.
That could get ugly quickly. But it's a good idea.
It would be awesome.
But yeah, so I'm really excited for the park. I'm kind of excited about all the news that's coming out for the movie. I just hope that, you know, JJ, can I call you Jay? Jay.
I feel like you guys know so much about each other.
We've known each other for such a long time, and you know how I feel about Star Trek. And, you know, I'm sure you're going to do a great job with Star Wars, but I just want to remind you that if you don't, it's over between us. For good.
No second date.
No take backsies. You know, I'm going to move on and it's going to be painful and I don't want to. So, you know, if you could just kind of get your shit together, that would be great.
Let's just talk about, like, let's say just 5 years ago. 5 years ago, no one was talking about Star Wars. Star Wars was done. Like, the trilogy was over.
The story was over.
The new trilogy. They did not have it 5 years ago. The purchase was not made 5 years ago.
No.
2010.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, 5 years ago, we weren't even thinking about Star Wars.
I mean, I was.
You were thinking about the originals. You were thinking about the originals. Like, man, those are good times.
Those were good times.
So
let me point out all the flaws.
Now, you know, a couple years later, we're not only getting a new trilogy, we're getting it by all of these, like, amazing, amazing talent directors. And not only that, but the original cast is involved. The original writer, one of the original writers is involved. This is the best time, I think, to be a Star Wars fan outside of the originals coming out.
I was going to mention that. Sorry to cut you off. I was going to say it's kind of the same thing with, like, Marvel. I feel like, you know, Marvel had their, still having it, like, their heyday of the movies, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now I'm thinking the next coming years is going to be Star Wars.
Yes.
It's going to be, like, the next phase of Marvel films.
Here is what I want to talk about, though. We've already talked about the superhero fatigue. Is it possible that they're making too many Star Wars? Now I have it on the brain. Is it possible that they're making too many superhero films and properties and TV shows and all that kind of stuff? And we've already just seen now with it, you know, we're not in the golden age. Like, guess what? They can make bad superhero films with Fantastic Four. They can just have a crash and burn moment like that.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about franchise fatigue. All of these films, or all these big studios, are making movies in hopes that they become franchises. Huge franchise. Not like oh, well, Jurassic Park was a success, let's do a sequel. Now they're doing, like, all right, let's take one of the raptors from that movie and make a spin-off of it for another film, and then we'll cross-promote them.
We'll put one of the raptors in the next Minions movie.
Exactly. And then we can make Jurassic Minions. So,
oh, God. Don't let them hear you. They'll actually make that movie.
That's a good idea.
Copyright. So
that's not how copyright works.
You don't say copyright something by saying copyright.
Wait. When I declared bankruptcy last week, me screaming it into a microphone is not declaring bankruptcy?
No, that's not how that works.
Oh, damn it. But anyway, do you think we're going to reach franchise fatigue where these, like, you know, Jurassic World, they're making more, you know, the Star Wars films, the Marvel movies, the DC movies, especially because now with Superman, Batman, we are going to be introduced to, like, five new characters in one film, and they're going to all get their own movie. Have we hit a point yet, or do you think it's going to be that point soon? They're making a Universal Monsters universe, a rebooted universe of the Universal Monster films that is going to be a shared universe of all of these monsters. So the, like, the Dracula and the Mummy and whoever else is in that
Wolfman. All that stuff.
They're going to reboot it.
Invisible Man.
Dracula. Put them all together in one film and then do, like, a spinoff of all the other films.
Yeah, because, like, why not? It's trying.
Well, that's the thing. Like, are we going to hit a fatigue? Like, are we going to be like, all right, fuck, enough with this shit. Give me an original movie.
I think absolutely, because, you know, everything eventually hits its head, you know, you can't go any higher. I mean, I feel like even with superheroes, honestly, how long can you do that for? Like, we're getting to the point where we're going to start asking ourselves, or they're going to start asking themselves, what else can they do? We're getting Batman versus Superman. We had two Avengers films already. How different can how different will Justice League be from that? I mean, unless you have some truly genius people in charge of that, creatively thinking how to keep it going fresh for the next ongoing future, it has to hit its head eventually. But for now, as you said, it's the golden age of television, it's the golden age for ensemble casts and shared universes and just gigantic. Everything is big now, so
that's why I'm glad that they have three different directors attacking episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
You have J.J. Abrams, Rian Johnson, and Colin Trinavarumar. You got these three guys, these three kind of visionary auteurs, if you will, attacking a franchise that's supposed to be connected. Now, on one hand, you're like, all right, how are they going to make a one linear story if three different people are at the helm? But as we know from the original trilogy, that was the case, wasn't it, Lucas?
Well, yes and no. You know, the original trilogy was all under the supervision of George Lucas, who, according to him, had the story written out from the beginning. I don't know how true that is, yeah, because the deleted scenes of Star Wars Episode 5 would tell us otherwise. There's a huge romantic subplot in episode 5, by the way, that was cut.
C-3PO and R2-D2.
No. Featuring Luke and Leia. And, like, not just, like, the implied attraction, like, legit sexual tension.
Luke and his lightsaber?
No, not his lightsaber.
Luke, his lightsaber, and Leia.
Saber.
Basically. And, like, those were cut. So, like, the fact that George Lucas says that he has it all written out, I don't know if I believe it. But I got away from my point. My point was that this is following more of, like, the trend of expanded universe. And so I feel like I'm a little bit qualified to talk about franchise fatigue. Because as someone who knows almost all of the Star Wars expanded universe, which now I guess is being referred to as Legends and is no longer canon. You know, when they had, so, like, they had, like, story arcs. So they had the Grand Admiral Thrawn trilogy, which George Lucas always considered to be canon after the movies until now, was written by Timothy Zahn, one author. Amazing. Mm-hmm. But then you have something called the Yuuzhan Vong series, which is, to sum it up briefly, it's a story about invaders coming from outside the galaxy who are immune to the Force, and also there's a pretty few important deaths that shape the Star Wars Legends universe.
And, you explained that to me quite in detail right before our 311 concert that we went to.
Nice. But so the point is that all those authors, they were all different authors, they rotated. It was like three or four different authors that all rotated. So, like, one author would write one book, and it would be 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, and they would all write these books.
Oh, that's cool.
And they all managed to keep a central storyline. You have to imagine all these directors are going to meet up beforehand.
True. And, like, and have the producers, like, are going to stay the same. And all
meet, you know, have, like, the central story. But then, you know, the directors hopefully will be able to take it off to interesting places. You know, put their own spin on it. Because the original trilogy movies all feel different.
Yeah.
You know, because
they can all work as standalone films.
Right. Not that they work as standalones, but they all have, like, their own kind of feel. You know, the dialogue, the shots, the pacing, they're all a little bit different. Their prequel trilogy is all the same because it was all ham-fisted by George Lucas. Well, episode 3 was fine.
It was alright.
It was decent. You know, the dude knows how to shoot a lightsaber fight.
It's true.
Which are all choreographed by Ray Park, who played Darth Maul in episode 1.
Ray Park's the man. Ray Park and Doug Jones should just have a baby. Make it happen.
Who would want that baby?
Make it happen, guys.
as far as franchise fatigue goes, it's, you know, The people who are really interested in it will keep going to see it. I continue to read Star Wars Expanded Universe because I'm really interested in the universe. I'm sure you guys would go keep seeing Marvel films because you're interested in the universe. And, you know, it's especially going to be interesting to see where they might take it differently from the comics. As we've seen with, like, The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, it gets really interesting when the show or the movie takes a departure from the source material.
It's based on the source material. It's not supposed to directly follow it because we already know the source material.
Right. So I think there won't necessarily be franchise fatigue for the hardcore fans. And in terms of mainstream fans, if you have enough franchises, you can rotate them. So, like, if people start to get sick of Marvel, now we promote the get the IPA out of the fridge, is what he's trying to say.
I wanted to see how far you would go with that.
You know, so, like, they'll do Marvel. Let's say, like, people get, you know, start to fade away from Marvel. You know, then they'll hype up Star Wars, and they'll roll out the Star Wars train. And then when people get sick of Star Wars, they might, like, roll out the Alice in Wonderland train or whatever, you know, that might take off. Who knows? But, and, you know, if they get enough franchises, all they have to do is keep rotating them. Every, you know, 5-6 years. The only problem I see with that is it never forces them to ever make an original movie ever again, which is a trend that we've already seen happening.
Yeah.
We've commented on it and we've complained about it, that original movies can be great. Like, I just watched Nightcrawler.
Oh my God, how great
is
that
movie? Oh my God, that's an amazing movie.
It's so good.
But it doesn't get a sequel.
No.
Because it wouldn't benefit from a sequel.
Nope.
You know, Gone Girl, just watched
Phenomenal.
It. Phenomenal. Amazing. And, like, these are original, fairly original movies. Gone Girl's based off of
a book.
But, yeah, you know, it just, the only problem I see is that it never really forces anyone to, or gives incentive to create original films ever.
And the problem with that is, too, is, like, when there is an original film that's made, and a director, you know, this new hotshot director is involved, they scoop him up and they make him take an existing property and make him, like, they're like, oh, work your original magic with this thing that is not original. So that's what happened with Josh Trank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Josh Trank supporter. I feel like, yeah, he made a lot of mistakes, especially pre the movie being released and post the movie being released. And before during the movie and during the, but I support him because I saw Chronicle and I loved it.
He directed Chronicle?
$12 million budget.
Okay, I should watch that.
Then. Of Chronicle. And he made that movie like what was it?
Pace. Let me see that bottle.
Rye. How much was it? Like $100 and.
What's that?
How much Chronicle made?
It made $130 million worldwide.
On a $12 million budget, so they're like, oh, what do you want to do next? We have Fantastic Four. You want that? Sure. Not do another original movie for a low budget. Let's give you $100 million to do a movie that has already failed twice. Like, that is a dumb move. So, and
he's a very knowledgeable guy too. Remember that video you showed me where he's explaining the whole history of Superman, wasn't he?
That was Max Landis. That's the guy who wrote Chronicle.
But that was him?
Yeah, he also wrote American Ultra. And he wrote the upcoming Victor Frankenstein with James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe. He is really good. He's kind of a dick, but I'm serious. Like, he kind of knows it, too. But he's awesome. He's a great writer. Related to John Landis.
Who knew?
Oh, who knew? But what I'm trying to say, another example would be Mark Webb. Mark Webb makes 500 Days of Summer. He's literally an indie darling. And they're like, you want to direct Spider-Man? Like... but you have to reboot him and tell the origin story that people know already. And then do a sequel that's better. Go. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. You're taking these young guys who made these small movies and you're giving them these huge franchises. It's not a good move. It's really not. Like, you gotta, like, groom them, and then eventually they can become the next Abrams or they can become the next Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau made indie movies his whole life. He knew how to make a good character story when he did Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because he didn't just make one movie and he's like, all right, let's do Iron Man. Yeah. Like, he did, like, he worked for, like, 10 years, so.
But that takes a special kind of person, because what person wouldn't jump at the chance, like, you know, and I can, you know, like, that's okay, so I'm in a band, like, kind of, and nobody really knows who we are.
Nope.
But, like, if Shrapnel Records came at me tomorrow and was like, hey, we want to give you $10,000 to write and a 2-album contract, and we're going to send you on tour in the summer. Of course I'm going to go. And these big movies are the directorial equivalent of, hey man, we want to give you all this money and like send you on the national press circuit. Like, what director who's been doing this their entire life, however short that might be, like if they're 21 and they've been doing it for 4 years, that's to them, they're what they've been working for. So mm-hmm. Who wouldn't jump at that chance? It's not necessarily the studios. It's also people who are jumping at the chance to do the thing they love to do. So it's kind of this, like, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but like you said, it's hard to take limited experience and do a big movie, because the hard part about big movies is you're fighting the studio. The studio wants certain things for merchandising, or they want things for promotion, you know. They are, you know, they want to be able to set up a sequel, yeah. So you can't tie up all your loose ends. You have to write a story that, you know, hits their certain requirements. You know, you're working inside their supervision. But you're also trying to fit in a workable story to, and we've seen this in Marvel, and especially the Avengers, an action-packed, effects-driven movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to balance that.
Yeah, and now Marvel is kind of, you know, they for the longest time, these guys were like the golden child. Like, they could do no wrong. And then, all of a sudden, with Edgar Wright, when he dropped out of Ant-Man, which... he was attached to that film before Iron Man was even in the works. Like, he's been he was involved with that project since like 2006.
Yeah.
So when he dropped out, we're like, all right, what the hell is going on with Marvel? Like, why would he do that? And you know, it pretty much the creative differences. Then you have to go back and say, oh, what happened with Thor 2? They had a woman attached to direct. Why didn't she do it? That's weird. And then the director of Thor 2 saying, yeah, I'm never working with Marvel again. They have too much creative control.
Idris Elba said the same thing, too.
Idris Elba as well. And then you have, we want to do a Black Panther film. Let's get the girl who did Selma. Ava DeVerini or whatever her name is.
Right.
She's like, no, they have way too much creative control. So now you're seeing, oh, well, why are these directors even going to go to Marvel if they're not going to have control of their project? So... that's bad. I mean, Marvel has this kind of set idea of, listen, this is what we have to go from A to B. Like, this guy that you're going to make a movie out of, he's going to be an Avenger soon, or he's going to be important to this universe in some way. You can do whatever you want. up into a certain point.
Just follow our guidelines.
Yeah, follow our guidelines and get him to that point. And that's tough for, especially, like, a director with a vision. Like, that's the whole point of directing, is, like, you have a vision and a story to tell.
Basically some guy telling an artist, all right, you can draw whatever you want, but I want you to draw this. Like, I don't know, it's mm-hmm. kind of like...
No, it's more like you have to draw... You can draw whatever you want, but you can only use these four colors. You know?
Right.
It's
you have to sacrifice some stuff in order to get your vision, yeah. which is really...
Now, I'm really looking forward to what Star Wars is doing, going back to it, because you have J.J. Abrams, who already knows how to take a big franchise and rework it.
He's basically kickstarting a huge saga now.
Exactly.
Like,
and that's what he did with Star Trek, and he was even able to pass the reins to...
This is bigger than Star Trek, obviously.
Yeah, and he was smart enough to pass the reins and not juggle both.
Yes, that's true.
And he's a Star Wars fan first, more than a Star Trek fan, which I think was good for both franchises, because if you had a Star Trek fan, you wouldn't have the critical and commercial success. You might have had a very, a very Star Trek fan-loved film, but it wouldn't probably get a sequel because no one would have saw it if they made another Star Trek film, if you think about it.
I would rather have one good Star Trek film than two shitty Star Trek films.
They're not that shitty. But anyway, that's another argument for another day, because we always do that anyway. What I'm trying to say is, just the idea of Rian Johnson directing and writing a Star Wars film...
That's interesting.
It gets me so excited.
It gets me hard.
It gets me hard, because this guy made two phenomenal films. If you've never seen Brick, if you've never seen Looper, stop listening to this podcast. Pause it. You know, come on, guys.
Come back to it.
Seriously.
Sure.
Go watch the movie. Come back and listen to it. I'm not ruining the film. I just want you to go right now, because it's really, really good. Both movies are so good, and they both have Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it, and he's just a delight. So, he really is.
That was creepy.
James Lipton now?
He's just a delight.
So,
First question. When you started acting... Did you know you would be so successful?
Is that Will Ferrell?
That's Will Ferrell doing, yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Cite specific examples.
I can only think of one word, and that word is scrumptrescence.
But anyway, I'm just really excited about these films. We've been talking about this subject for too long, so we're going to go to the next subject. Make sure you look out for those movies, because, you know, you're not going to go see Star Wars.
Well, yeah, because you might miss Star Wars if you're not paying attention. It'll come out and be out of theaters. You'll be like, whoa, I didn't
even get a chance to see it.
It'll be a big cult following.
Did it even make any money? Probably not.
It's going to bomb.
Star Wars Episode 7 is going to be the highest grossing movie of all time.
No, it's going to make like $10 million and be out.
It's going to be the highest grossing movie of all time, and then it's going to be the highest grossing movie of all time again. Like, it's going to make all that money, and then again.
It'll make more money in the first, like, 5 minutes than we'll make in our three lifetimes right here.
That's so true.
Isn't it?
Oh, it's
Think
so
about
sad.
That, then go well, so home
you
and
know,
kill yourself.
You know what we have to do? You know what we have to do now? We have to mastermind and set into motion a chain of events that allows me to eventually write the Star Wars films. Rian can direct. I will write.
Can I be a...
You can get the beers.
Guys,
can you even
make me a production assistant?
Well, you are a production assistant. You have to get the beer. Okay. You have to get the Red Bull until 11 a.m., and then you switch over to craft beer. And it better be local or else you're fired.
Al Manarino takes over the job because Rian DeMarco had to make crotch shots on his movie.
Lucas actually takes
time during the movie to slam J.J.
Abrams. Who would let you direct a Star Wars film? I could see him writing it.
If I'm the writer, executive producer, and head of Disney, then clearly I'm going to let...
Oh my God. This conversation has gone away from us. Moving on. We're going to resurrect... Actually, I'm sorry. We'll save that for last. We have a new segment for you guys. Rye?
Lucas goes to the movie.
And if you didn't understand that, that's right. This new segment is Lucas going ahead with the times, getting into the 21st century finally, and seeing a movie that is in theaters. Lucas, what did you see?
I saw Mission Impossible. I forget what the second half of the title is.
And the segment is over.
And thank you forever.
Well, it's Mission Impossible,
Rogue
the fifth one.
Nation.
it's actually called that, the fifth one.
Rogue
Nation.
By the way, I kind of envision in my head this as who's the old guy from 60 Minutes? I don't know. He just complains for Dan 60
Rather.
Seconds.
Is it Dan Rather?
No, Andy oh, Rooney. He used to have Rooney. That. He was an old guy. He was very jowly, and he had like a 60-second or like 2-minute short where he just complained about things. It was where they got the Family Guy segment, "What Really Grinds My Gears."
You know what really grinds my gears?
Exactly. Okay, so
Lucas Jones.
I saw a movie. For those of you who don't get why that's funny, it's because I don't actually go to the movies ever. I prefer to wait 6 years and then watch the movie.
He usually gets most of his movie news from this podcast.
Yeah, gets his movies from true. VHS stores.
Okay, so I saw Mission Impossible. And I saw it in IMAX. By the way, I don't know why we ever go see movies that aren't in IMAX.
I know.
Like, holy shitballs, Batman.
Did you go to Trop?
I did go to Trop.
We saw Star Trek there, me and you. We saw Watchmen there.
Yeah, we did see Watchmen there.
I've seen Happy Feet 1 there.
How was that?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Mission Impossible, the fifth one, I thought
Rogue
was
Nation.
Amazing. It was probably the best one besides the first one.
You like the first one?
I did like the first one.
You didn't like Ghost Protocol?
I did like Ghost Protocol, but not as much as I liked the fifth one.
I was talking about.
I thought the fifth one, honestly, was the best Mission Impossible. I mean,
I still want to see. I like the first one because I have to do my spiel. That's the whole part of Lucas goes to the movies.
I'm sorry.
It's not Ryan and Al go to the movies.
It's a new segment, man. We're not used to it.
Lucas still goes to the movies, Scott.
So I saw Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and it was awesome. And I thought the stunts were amazing. The storyline, it does something that storylines very rarely do. It kept me guessing until the very last second of plot. Like, a thing happened, and the movie was over. That was awesome. That was such a refreshing experience to literally not know how a movie is going to end. Because it feels like movies are super predictable now. Like, you know, in the Avengers, the good guys are going to win.
Nope.
They all die. But, like, this one kept me guessing all throughout the movie. There were some parts that, yeah, you know what's going to happen. And some woman behind me kept going, oh, my God, this is what's going to happen. Which is fine. But
I just totally guessed that Ving Rhames is the bad guy the entire time.
Yeah. Ving Rhames is actually just Samuel L. Jackson in a mask.
Who's also LL Cool J.
Spoilers. But I really liked it, and I'm really glad I saw it at IMAX because an action movie of that caliber deserves to be seen with that sound system and that screen and that clarity.
Do you feel like sometimes when you're watching it, like, you don't know where to watch because the screen is so big? You're like, where should I put my eyes?
Not necessarily, although I do have that problem playing first-person shooters on big TVs.
Yes.
So, yeah, I would clearly go see it. I thought it was the second best one. You know, my order goes 1, 5, 4, 3, 2.
That's a weird order.
Two is definitely the worst.
Two is always considered the weakest. Worst, but I would never see first.
I think everybody in the world actually agrees with that.
Yeah, but I would never put first.
So,
first.
My recommendation, go see it. I guess what are we gonna have only two scores for movies? Go see it or don't bother.
Or nah, bro, or go see it.
Yeah, nah, bro, or brah.
Yeah, I like that.
So the official rating for this movie is brah. Yeah. You guys haven't seen it yet, right?
I saw it.
What did you think, Ryan?
I thought it was the best Mission Impossible. It was If you should read my review on Pop Break. I reviewed it for
Pop. Did you really?
Pop-break.com.
Like Point Break, but with pop.
Yes. It's the pop culture break in your day.
It's right. Not Poop Break. It's Pop Break.
Yes. Don't listen to Google. It's Pop Break.
Yeah. I Googled Poop Break one time. Whew. Holy poop. Mission Impossible is the best one.
It's okay. I'll kill him.
The Rogue Nation, I thought, was the best one.
The fifth one.
The fifth one.
That's what it's called. I swear, please name Mission Impossible 6 the sixth one.
No, name Die Hard the sixth one. Fuck it.
Well, the Sharknado already kind of coined that with Sharknado 2, the second one.
The second one.
Which is a great name.
But I thought the action scenes were, amazing. And like you said, there was a few points during the movie, it was, a refreshing break from normalcy, like the scene would happen, like, ooh, okay, that's kind of cool, that doesn't happen that often,
and visually it captured the scale of the plot, the scale of the plot is so immense, and visually it captured the intimate intensity when it needed to be there, and it captured like the scale of what was happening when it needed to be there.
Can one of you come up this week so we can see this movie? Because I really want to see it.
I'm busy.
Nah, bro.
I mean, go see it with your girlfriend.
Yeah, she would never see the movie.
Well, go see one of her movies, and then she has to come see one of yours. That's how that works.
Withhold sex from her, and then tell her
that's not how that works at all.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't work like that.
I guess we're not married, so we don't know.
Moving on.
But
this podcast always goes away from me.
But yeah, the action scenes were amazing. There was no dull moments in the movie. There was no moments where I started to wander. Like the entire story and all the characters were properly utilized. Besides a couple, but like. I thought,
who plays the villain?
I don't know his name, but
he has the most punchable face I've ever seen on a person.
No. And he also looks like Simon Pegg too.
He looks like a snivelly version of Simon Pegg. They really did a good job. They worked with that. They made him wear like turtlenecks and like really evil glasses.
he's like a pretentious douchey.
Who's the most punchable villain ever? There has to be a more punchable villain.
Gary Oldman in The Fifth Element?
No. I'm not going to say punchable. Because he's actually likable as a villain.
What about the creepy guy?
Because he's Gary Oldman.
What about the creepy guy from The Transporter?
I haven't seen The Transporter.
Oh, come on. That's bad. You never seen The Transporter?
No. There's a new one coming out.
Hey, don't see that one. No, Statham's not.
Statham's not in it. No, what's the point?
Can I talk for a second about the new Transporter movie? Like, literally for, like, 15 seconds.
Oh, go.
Yeah, go ahead.
I saw the trailer, and it was pretty cool. And then it did a thing, and I realized that I hate when trailers do this. And it was, he's out for blood, and this time it's personal.
Nice.
If a movie says, this time it's personal, I'm done.
Talk about one more trailer before we go, because we've done a long enough podcast. I don't think we need the next segment. So, the Hitman trailer. Now, Hitman has happened already with Timothy Olyphant. It was literally called Hitman. And now they're doing this new one called Agent 47. Yep. But they changed the title because, just in case no one knows who Agent 47 is, now it's called Agent 47. Hitman.
Well, because they have to, because if you weren't going to go see the movie, now you're going to, because you're like, oh, it's a Hitman movie.
Okay. If you watch the trailer for this film, which we will after this podcast, so I can just prove to you guys, this movie is like, all right, we know what Hitman was. It was barely a success. Let's do something different. Let's make another Hitman. Let's do it right this time. No. They decided, hey, everything that we did with Hitman that was really crappy. And you remember that Max Payne movie? Let's just put those together and make another movie. Because this movie looks like a giant pile of shit. It really does. It doesn't even look like they tried. They said, hey, director.
I enjoyed Max Payne.
Hey, director. I want you to make the most generic action movie ever. You know that movie Mad Max? That movie was sick. Oh, man. Don't do anything like that. Make the most CGI affected shit ever. That's what we're going to do for this movie. Go. Got it, bro. Let me do it right now. It looks like a hunk of crap. It really looks so fucking bad.
Doesn't have a chance.
It looks like Legion. It looks like that other shit movie.
Daybreakers.
Daybreakers. It looks like every shitty CGI affected.
You're fucking like that movie, didn't you?
You're the only one who likes that movie.
What, Legion?
Yeah.
I liked it. You liked Legion?
No, I enjoyed it. Like, there are just movies that you watch it once and you go, huh, that was pretty cool.
No. And both of those movies. Remember both of those movies when they were like the trailers of those movies came out? I said, I'm not seeing that piece of shit. It's gonna be horrible. And your guys are like, we'll go see it.
It looks alright.
At least I didn't go see Daybreakers, Ryan.
Hunk of shit.
Fuck you.
But honestly,
have a soft spot for Willem Dafoe. What do you want?
We are gonna end this podcast with, please go watch the Hitman 47 trailer.
Well, no, we were gonna talk about something else.
We have a 50-minute podcast.
Yeah, but we usually do an hour. Nick listens to these on his commute, and his commute is about an hour and 10 minutes
long. That's true. I listen to an hour commute.
Nick, we're doing this for you.
Nick, it's all you. All right. Final topic of the day. We're resurrecting another segment, Trailer Talk.
Well, hang on one second. We have to do this properly.
This concludes Lucas Goes to the Movies.
Dun, da, 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 da.
Can I just make a point that
what are we getting into?
Can I just make a point that your interpretation of the intro and outro of that sounds like a really bad impersonation of the intro for Saturday Night Live? right?
Hey, man. A little bit. Everything's kind of taken.
Well, I can cut the bass in post and make it sound like the continental accent from the 30s and 40s.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. All right, well.
Saturday Night Live. Right?
It's the same thing.
With Ryan DeMarco.
Featuring
John Al's Lovitz.
Vagina.
Yeah. Al's Vagina.
Or John Lovitz. John Lovitz.
Musical guest. Bird Hotel.
I was gonna say musical guest Hoobastank.
Who? Bustank?
I feel like Hoobastank does not get enough love.
I wonder why.
It's deserving.
They've written one song. Do you even know what that song is?
The Reason.
Of course you do.
Can we talk about the fucking trailer, please, instead of Hoobastank?
Trailer talk. Did you guys see the trailer for the Hoobastank documentary? No, I'm kidding. Trailer talk. Lucas is saying Hoobastank now. You're welcome.
And the reason is you.
Anyway, so, God, we're drinking way too much beer on this podcast. Trailer talk. It's a no-brainer. We probably should be talking about the Deadpool trailer, but that is really old.
Internet rates
well,
it already.
Basically. Quick hit on the Deadpool trailer. One word.
Chimichangas.
Hullabaloo. Oh my god.
Yeah. So Deadpool trailer, that's basically the review for that. But the one we're going to talk about is we finally get the full trailer. When I say full, I mean like almost 3 minutes.
As in I'm fully erect while I'm watching it.
I'm fully aroused. It is the Hateful Eight trailer, then the eighth Quentin Tarantino film. Ryan, take it away.
Oh, me?
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know this was going to happen.
Well, it's the eighth and most ambitious project yet for Quentin Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino, the eighth one.
Yeah. Quentin Tarantino, the eighth film. This is a film, if you've been living under a rock and you have not been part of the news the past couple years, this film. Shut up,
nice plug
Al.
There, Al.
Yeah, that was good.
You plugged our podcast.
You plugged our
on
own
our
show, you idiot. Plugged your own show. So this eighth project sets eight strangers in the Old West, or I think it's sometime after the Civil War.
Like the Midwest.
Obviously, Tarantino got his freak on with Django, and he liked the Western genre so much
Always
he wanted to do another one. So he wrote a script for it, and a couple years ago, it got hijacked from someone and ended up on Gawker. So that was a whole legal dispute, and Tarantino, of course, threatened to shelve it forever. What happened was
Then he did a live read.
He said
it was going to be a book.
Select cast members, then he was going to do a book, and then lo and behold, it became a movie again.
Yeah.
And here we are. Tarantino filmed it in glorious, as the trailer suggests, 70mm film, which has not been used for a long time.
Technicolor vision.
Probably since the last Western.
Bring us to August 2015, and we have a full frontal trailer of the film, and honestly, from the first look, it looks like a Tarantino film. It's amazing, and you see some familiar faces. You have Samuel Jackson.
It is like a best of.
It's basically like, hey,
except for the one person missing.
Like it's like all the people of Tarantino's career were just sitting around his living room, and he just filmed them.
Exactly.
Like, yo, Tim Roth, you haven't been in a movie in a long time. Let's throw you in there.
Do you think
Michael
they have
Manson.
Like a dedicated phone line for Quentin Tarantino?
Like the
bat phone. The Tarantino phone?
Like when their careers in help, they're like, oh shit, I gotta call QT. Well, it's not even that.
It's like, it's Sam Jackson, Sam Jackson and Michael Madsen are literally in every single Tarantino movie.
Wait, can I guess who's not in this movie?
Yep.
Is it Christoph Waltz?
That's right.
Yeah, he's not in this
movie.
I
know.
And
good.
I don't know why. Why wouldn't you put him in? He's your golden goose. Your last two movies were nominated for Academy Awards because of Christoph Waltz.
Is he busy? Or something?
No.
Okay,
he's an idiot.
Here's also the thing, too. His last movie, he was just in a Western. He would probably, I don't know. I mean, I could see why he's not in this.
You could have put him in it as the same character.
Yeah,
that would have been
Tarantino-verse. This takes place after Django. It takes place after the Civil War. Django was before the Civil War.
I should see Django, shouldn't I?
Imagine you didn't see Django?
You need to see Django. You never seen Django?
Did you see Inglourious Bastards?
Yes.
You never seen
Are you
Django?
Lying to me?
No.
Are you lying to me?
No.
Al, grab this fucking Stein glass and bash him in the head.
You lying to me right now?
Now hiring a third
I've
third
seen
member.
Inglourious Bastards several times. Al and I always do the 3-3 thing at each other.
Yeah.
It's a German.
Oh, thing. You do?
Yeah. It's
a German. He did D3 this way, not this way. So we shot him.
In the ball. In the ball. No, I just haven't seen Django. I think I was busy that week. And then
2 years ago.
I was busy that week.
Allow me to finish my analysis of the trailer. I thought it was simply wonderful. It looks very, very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like they're leaving out a bunch of stuff because it's,
they're not. I think they're leaving in all the right stuff. The movie, he said it basically that the movie all takes place in this one room.
Which
with,
is
with
weird.
These eight characters.
Well, it's not weird because it's like Reservoir Dogs.
Yes, and Tarantino's also doing the thing where he's resurrecting a career.
Shut the fuck up, Al. You didn't see Reservoir Dogs? Did you see Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Are you lying to me?
No, we watched Pulp Fiction together.
How have you never seen Reservoir Dogs?
I was busy that week.
In 1994.
We're two. I was busy doing two-year-old stuff. My mom's not going to let a two-year-old watch Reservoir Dogs. All
right, sound off. I'm going to name these movies. You see, you let me know what you've seen. Yeah, Jackie okay. Brown.
No.
Kill Bill.
Yes.
One. Kill Bill 2.
I fell asleep halfway through.
Oh,
fell
asleep my through. God.
Son of a bitch. Fucking stab him.
Keep going.
I'm done. I have no idea what to say to you at this moment. Son of a bitch. I know. I just want to. Like, I
also have never seen The Departed.
Piece of shit. I know you still have never seen The Departed.
I've never seen Seven.
Great movie.
Even though I think I own it on DVD.
You do? I got it for you.
I'm looking at it right now. You got it.
And that's my copy of Attack the Block.
It's still in the shrink wrap. I haven't seen Attack the Block either.
Literally my copy of it. You never.
That's the Five Below copy, isn't it?
No, that's from Blockbuster, actually. Yes. That is the most dated sentence ever. That a copy of Attack the Block is from Blockbuster.
I purchased it with American dollars from Blockbuster.
America's oldest currency, yeah.
Actually, not really.
I think I grabbed that when they were closing down. That was one of the movies I grabbed when they were closing down.
Continental currency is the oldest.
I grabbed
American
Attack
currency.
The Block, 500 Days of Summer, and Adventureland.
Huh?
When they were closing down Blockbuster.
That's interesting.
Memories.
Should watch some of those. Okay, so
what did you guys think of the trailer for Hateful Eight?
Well, since I've seen Quentin Tarantino Western before, I'm really excited. I'm very upset that he didn't put Christoph Waltz in it, just because it just makes sense. But I love that he brought back what's his name, Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
Kurt
love,
Russell.
Because I feel like Tarantino's shittiest movie had a great actor in it with Death Proof, and I feel like Kurt Russell deserves to be in a great Tarantino film, not his worst. I like how they brought Jennifer Jason Leigh in for no reason at all.
Yeah.
And of course, my favorite person of all time, Walton Goggins is in it.
Walton Goggins, oh, Jesus
who
Christ.
Was in
Five Head, right?
Nine Head.
Sorry.
And he had a very not small role, but he had a pretty decent role in Django.
Wasn't he in Predators?
He was in Predators. He was not. That's where Nine Head started.
Right. Yeah, because his forehead is absurd.
Because Ryan, what happened to him?
He had the best.
No.
What is my
sentence that I always say about him in Predators? Come on. He had the shit killed out of him.
Yeah, he did.
Because he got his fucking...
He had the best death ever.
He had
a Mortal Kombat fatality.
Yeah, he got
his
spine ripped out. It was amazing.
Spine and skull. I don't know how your skull comes out of your... I don't know.
Well, because the spine is attached to your skull.
I understand that, but like... They make the skin seem
pretty
like
simple.
Paper thin.
The hip bone is connected to the leg bone. The leg bone is connected to the knee bone.
Can we
the
please describe this episode
the
as the hip bone
shin
to the knee
bone?
No.
And the head bone is connected
the
to your spine.
The alternate title of this episode of the podcast is I Was Promised Nachos. That is the ultimate alternate title.
I'm learning a lot in anatomy today.
Yeah.
And
the head bone's connected to the spine.
Anyway. The trailer itself, pretty great. It showed the premise of the film was basically Kurt Russell. I'm not going to name characters. He's basically the Hangman. I think that's his nickname.
Yeah, blah, 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 the Hangman.
He is a bounty hunter, I think, and he's in a room staying in for like a couple days or the weekend or
just wait till a storm passes
with his prisoner with basically all hitmen.
Who seems very cheery that she's going to get hung.
Yeah, Jennifer Jason Leigh is basically, she's going to be hanged, like, the next day or whatever.
Hung.
She's going to be hanged. She's going to be
gonna
hung.
Hang. Where's she going to hang at?
She's going to hang
she's
out.
She's going to hang with
she's gonna get. She's going to get some brewskis with Michael Madsen. but anyway.
Another
topic. Michael Madsen, Tim Roth. A lot of people in this movie. And you know who pretty much is going to be the next Christoph Waltz? But not really. The
Bruce Dern.
No, the Bruce Dern's in the movie. He's like 90 years old. No, what's his name? Damien Barr, whatever his name is.
Oh, Damien Bouchier?
Yeah, someone told Tarantino to put him in the film. Like, it was like, he was recommended.
Probably Robert Rodriguez, because he's been in a ton of his fucking movies.
That was the thing. Rodriguez told him to put him in the film. So maybe that was Waltz's part. Who knows? Anyway, this is a full-on Tarantino discussion at this point. But it looks like, basically, Kurt Russell has to protect this girl for the night or the weekend or whatever, however this many days this takes place, between all of these other hitmen, I'm guessing?
No, and I think everybody's just totally different.
Everyone's like some dude.
But Tim Roth does not seem like a hitman.
Their thing is they're probably going to be like a band of miscreants. Like, yeah. They've all got something.
They are pretty hateful, and there's eight of them.
I want to murder you.
It's a flip on the Magnificent Seven.
It's the Hateful Eight.
Is that Magnificent Seven a thing?
Jesus Christ.
We are ending this podcast because we have a lot of things to show Lucas before I fucking stab him with the nearest sharp
object. I thought the trailer was cool, and I hope you guys drag me to see the movie. And then please explain to me what The Magnificent Seven is. You know what my thing is, though? How do we know Christoph Waltz is not in the movie? Because you know what would be super Tarantino?
I'm just
going
to talk to you today. I'm just going to look to
you. You know what would be super Tarantino?
What's that?
If Tarantino filmed scenes for The Hateful Eight with Christoph Waltz on the set of Django to keep it a secret.
He would never have done that.
I don't think he has like a whole discussion with how he kept the metal watch in his ass for 2 years.
That's true.
Yeah,
his dad died of dysentery.
Yeah. And I put that watch up my ass. And now I'm giving this watch to you.
The genius of Quentin there.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good. I hope I get to see it.
We're gonna fucking beat you to death with Django Unchained. I have a copy on Blu-ray. We're gonna take it.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, I think so, actually.
I still have Netflix, yeah.
So you should just watch it.
We should just watch it.
You know how old that movie is?
Old?
2 years. 3 years?
I bought it on Blu-ray when I was still in college.
Three years.
No, I remember like when it came out.
I saw it in theaters with my black roommate.
Yeah, that was great when you brought him to brought him to the movies to see that. That was the most uncomfortable viewing of a movie I've ever been through.
I had a really great time. That's because I'm not a racist.
Ryan.
I'm not racist either. But
yeah, you're not
racist.
Call
me racist on
you're not racist after editing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good. Tell the fans.
I think that's going to end this episode. For those of you who actually listen to this podcast, I want to say thank you because our
thank you.
Because not only for our racist comments, Ryan, and it's our terrible schedules that this podcast doesn't get released on a great time. Everyone in this room,
mostly
me and everyone else.
Well, Al's a big boy now.
I want to just say thank you to everyone who keeps listening to us, even though we don't stick to a really great schedule. We say we're a weekly podcast. We're really not. We say we're bi-weekly. We're not. Monthly? Barely. So
we're a monthly.
We try. We really do.
And before Al finishes up the podcast, for those of you playing the Al Manarino drinking game, unfortunately, you guys are all sober tonight after... listening to this podcast.
He stuck with it pretty good today.
Yeah, he did a really good job today of avoiding all things that are on the list.
Ooh. I want to know this list.
It's been going for a while.
It's been going for a while. The Love Child number 5 podcast was a good one.
Ooh.
Because there were a lot of drinks for that one. I think tonight was only one drink, technically, for the Al Manarino drinking game. It was very subtle, and it was like
now,
kind of a half thing.
Here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
How can the folks at home play the drinking game if they don't know the rules?
They do know the rules.
How do they know the rules?
Because we told them.
How did you tell them?
Because you don't listen to the episodes.
Because you don't never listen to the episode.
So there's an episode that explains the rules.
Go
the rules
search
are,
for
the
it.
The rules are explained in code over several episodes.
That's bullshit.
No, it's not.
Yeah. It's like one of those decoder rings you get. You have to like.
We
like
sent them all decoder rings.
It's like
in the mail.
Fifth word in this podcast, the fifth minute in this one.
Yeah,
you gotta
decipher. That's why
it.
No one listens to this podcast. It's become too meta.
But honestly, Nicolas Cage actually listens. He's had a hilarious time decoding the last
podcast. He did.
Wow.
He sent us an email. He's like, oh,
you guys,
amazing.
You guys are great.
You guys are great.
What?
What? You want to buy this dinosaur skull?
We're
I need the money.
Duck.
Lucas,
A,
Lucas.
B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Q-R-S-T-U-V-W-X-Y-Z.
He's screaming by the end of the alphabet. Lucas, a word to the people, please. We're all kind of throwing in, chipping in our... What are we doing by the end of this year? Like, I know we're kind of stepping it up a little
Comic-Con!
Bit.
Comic-Con! New York Comic-Con in October. We have a... Lucas is actually coming with us.
Lucas will be there.
Well, in theory.
In theory. If he doesn't get...
We found out you had secondary plans for that, and we almost killed you.
If he doesn't get the black lung before the podcast, before the...
What are we going as this year, guys, by the way?
We're going as characters from Mad Max.
Yes, I'm the only one who's been preparing so far.
No. I've been finding... I've already engaged in a verbal contract for one of my guitars.
The flaming one?
Well, you could buy flamethrowers, it turns out, for like $1,500.
That's not
How much money
cheap.
Is Pop Break willing to spend on Comic-Con?
Nothing. Not even a dime.
I've been capturing slowly, every night, I've been capturing at least one woman, because I'm in Wharton Joe, so I have to have my property.
So not only are you racist, but also a womanizer.
Al, of course, picked...
That's right, tell everybody.
For the second year in a row. Actually, the third year in a row. Well, no, because you guys didn't dress up last year.
We didn't.
So... For...
That's good. Yeah, it did happen.
You did your stupid idea, didn't you?
It was horrible.
Shit.
No one talked about that.
When we went as characters from Borderlands, I was like, I call Psycho, which is the easiest character to be.
And it was one of the best.
I'm noticing a trend.
And this year, he's like, I'm Max.
Actually, I'm not. I didn't actually say that. You said I'm Max.
Right. Well, I said you're Max, but then you were like, easy. Yeah.
Because
you're the paciest one, so clearly you're a Morton Jones.
I don't need that much makeup.
I'm the only one that can play guitar, so I'm the doof warrior.
Technically, though... Is the Nicholas Holt character pastier than Morton Joe?
No.
Christian's pasty anyway.
Yeah, the Nicholas Holt character is too skinny to be pasty.
And that's Christian. Right. Christian's skinny.
Christian's pretty skinny.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be
Morton
Joe.
I feel bad
Joe.
For his girlfriend, though. He's going to have to chop off an arm.
Yep. Yeah. It's already in her contract. She can't get away from it.
Yeah, so we're going as Mad Max characters. So check that out. I already know I can't go to Comic-Con next year, though.
Why?
Because I've got two weddings. No, different weekends. This like one weekend and the weekend
after. Let's handle that next year.
No, I'm sorry. Wait, you're saying the next year you already know that it's the week of Comic-Con?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You can't go all 4 days because of one wedding?
Because of two weddings.
In the same weekend?
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
You don't make any sense.
You're an idiot. Thank you for listening to another episode of News Over Brews.
No, sir, I'm a dreamer.
I'm Al Manarino. And I was promised nachos.
My name is Ryan DeMarco, and I am not a racist. I am not a womanizer. I am a necrophiliac, and I'm proud.
Also narcoleptic.
Maybe. A narcoleptic necrophiliac.
Ooh.
So he sleeps with dead people while he's asleep.
Yep. Double N right there.
My name is Lucas Jones, and I did make nachos, but I ate them all. And they were good too. They were, and actually, I don't know. I think Al knows this, but they were black bean and tofu nachos.
I was listening.
They're black bean and tofu nachos. Because I've been experimenting with vegetarianism recently.
Piece of shit.
It's only temporary. Don't worry.
Traitory. You're a fucking traitor.
What's the shirt,
dude? I'm 2 weeks in.
What's the shirt?
And how do you feel?
My life is totally. I got married. I had a son, a beautiful baby
is your
boy.
Son in the closet. Where is he? You gave birth in less than 2 weeks,
house,
huh?
I retired.
Read the shirt.
I moved to Florida.
He's not reading the shirt. He's.
I sat on the porch with my lovely wife until the day we died on the same day because we couldn't live one day.
Get out of my sight.
What's the shirt say?
Life's too short to be vegetarian. I solved Fermat's Last Theorem. I've written several etudes and symphonic pieces.
Thanks for listening.
We're not done.
Vegetarian? No, we're not done.
We ain't done. We're going to keep going.
I'm cutting you off.
No, you can't do that. What do you think you are, the moderator?
I am the moderator.
Not anymore.
I'm your host and moderator, Al Manarino.
We've taken control of your podcast.
I'm out this bitch.
All right, so my name is Lucas Jones, and good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening.
Until the next time.
Bye, Warbonds.